A big support for the housing market is going away.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Today, the Federal Reserve will kick away one of its props for the housing market. The Fed will stop buying mortgage-backed securities issued by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer looks at what this means for housing and home buyers.
Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac buy mortgages from banks and resell them as mortgage-backed securities. As long as Freddie and Fannie can find buyers, mortgage rates stay low. When the housing market collapsed, nobody wanted these securities. So the Federal Reserve stepped in and bought about $1 trillion worth. Economist Catherine Mann of Brandeis University says now private investors can take over.
Until the Federal Reserve starts to relinquish its role, the rest of the financial sector has no incentive to get back in the saddle.
Zach Pandel is an economist with Nomura Securities. He thinks it's a gamble for the Fed to step aside.
But the housing recovery is very wobbly at this point. So removing this program, which could potentially lead to higher mortgage rates, may keep the recovery quite weak for some time.
Pandel says the Fed has made it clear it will step back in if mortgage rates get too high. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
So the housing market is one flashpoint for this economy. Another is employment. A report on the March job market comes out on Friday, and it's expected to show employers added jobs for only the second month since the recession started. Some kinds of companies are bouncing back faster than others. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson reports, in this recovery, it's good to be global.
If you dig into the quarterly reports of big U.S. companies, you'll notice that many of them are relying on growth overseas to cushion any losses here at home. That's the case from medical device makers to McDonald's.
And those companies with the international stretch are helped more and quicker as economies recover in the global marketplace.
That's Ronald McNeil, dean of the business school at the University of Illinois Springfield. He says small businesses can benefit, too, if they play their cards right, perhaps by selling to larger companies that already export their business overseas. But Liz Ann Saunders, the chief investment strategist at Charles Schwab, says small businesses have one big disadvantage, access to capital.
Big companies typically don't have to go to banks to borrow money. They can come to the capital markets. They can issue bonds. They can issue stocks. So they can expand. They can invest.
That, she says, will keep large multinationals ahead of smaller companies in the U.S. race to recovery. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Now let's do the numbers. They're mixed this morning, with shares in Europe up slightly, 0.25%. Asian markets fell about 0.5% today. Yesterday, a U.S. report showed consumer confidence here surged in March. However, people are still hesitant to splurge on the really big purchases. So the S&P 500 ended dead flat, the NASDAQ rose 0.25%, and the Dow tacked on another 11 points, continuing to inch toward 11,000. The close yesterday was 10,907.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Progressive Insurance, helping people shop for car insurance at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. By Citrix, offering GoToMyPC, providing remote access to a Mac or a PC from anywhere. More at gotomypc.com/market. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
That big new healthcare law contains a whole lot of changes. Just yesterday, the president signed a measure that was tucked into the law that has to do with the student loan industry. Los Angeles Times business columnist David Lazarus says one untold story with the law is how it might change disease prevention in this country. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
How is this healthcare law going to help us prevent disease?
Well, it's going to sound like hyperbole, but in reality, the healthcare law represents a sea change in how the United States is going to approach healthcare. Up until now, the emphasis has been on waiting until people have a problem and then prescribing costly treatments to deal with it. This is why we spend twice as much per capita in the United States on healthcare than other countries. The difference now is going to be a new emphasis on prevention and wellness, which sounds a little bit wonky, but what that means means is getting in front of illness before it happens.
Getting in front of illness how?
Well, in reality, what you want to do is give incentives to healthcare providers to keep you fit. And that's what this does. For example, under the Medicare and Medicaid changes, healthcare providers are going to now have an incentive to keep their patients feeling well, feeling good, before they have problems. In fact, they'll be rewarded for that. Their reimbursements will go up if they can keep people fit.
Do you think a change that big in our mindset toward healthcare can really come from top down, from Congress?
I think it's all about being well informed about your options and giving people incentives to be healthier. Here's another thing that's in the bill. There are going to be now incentives for businesses, large and small, to provide wellness programs to employees. In some cases, you'll be able to get up to 50% off your monthly health care premiums if you participate in these programs and do well. That's a heck of an incentive.
Okay, David, so maybe the government's throwing money at some very worthy ideas, but how do we know this is going to be worth all that the cost?
Well, we won't know until we try. And in fact, the health care reform law allots about $15 billion over 10 years to try to promote prevention and wellness among people. That's not a lot of money in the grand scheme of things, especially for something where we're talking about savings of $1 trillion over 20 years. Now, if it were easy, we would have done this years ago. Clearly, some sort of incentive needs to be out there. That's what this is about.
LA Times business columnist David Lazarus, thanks.
Thank you.
And finally, tomorrow is April Fool's Day, but you might want to just forget I said that. A new survey of advertising and marketing executives finds that office pranks are really unwelcome right now. The company doing the survey, called the Creative Group, says with jobs this scarce, you do not want to be seen as a time waster. And that joke where you pretend to quit in a huff, you might laugh all the way to the food bank. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. Hope you can join us online sometime. We have a 60-second video poem there where all the week's business news is compressed into a Marketplace Minute. That's marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.